The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by Alumni Ventures. Invest with confidence. Discover the power of venture investing with Alumni Ventures, America's largest venture firm for individual investors. Learn more at av.vc.
LinkedIn presents.
For most of our existence, there was nothing we could do about aging and death. But today, molecular biology is making huge advances in understanding aging. And for the first time, promises to tackle the many causes of aging to allow us to live longer, healthier lives.
Hi, this is the Next Big Idea Daily. I'm your host, Michael Kovnat. It's Tuesday, and it's allergy season where I live, so you might hear a little congestion in my voice. But anyway, I'm alive. And I assume you are too. Isn't it great? I like being alive, but I assume someday I won't be. I assume that because human mortality has long been considered an immutable fact. But some scientists are starting to question the inevitability of dying, and in the process, they're learning a lot about human longevity. Venki Ramakrishnan shares the latest research in his new book, Why We Die: The New Science of Aging and the Quest for Immortality. Venki is a Nobel Prize-winning molecular biologist, and he runs the Ramakrishnan Lab at the MRC Laboratory of Molecular Biology in Cambridge, England. Here he is to share the big ideas from his book.
One of the most traumatic experiences we must have in our lives is to learn in childhood that one day we're going to die, and that everyone we know, from our parents to our siblings and friends, will die as well. We try our best to bury that knowledge, but anxiety about death has driven human culture throughout history. Religions offer various explanations for what happens when we die, but all of them think of death as a transition to something else. We often can't even bring ourselves to say that someone we know died, and instead use euphemisms like passed on or departed. The knowledge of mortality is unique to humans. Animals instinctively fear death, but are unaware that they have a limited lifespan. We're only aware of it because we've evolved a brain that has consciousness, self-awareness, and language to communicate the idea. But what exactly is the death that concerns us? Cells in our body die and are replaced all the time, but we don't even notice it. Even when we die, most of our cells are still alive. Entire organs are alive and can be donated to transplant recipients. Rather, the death we fear is the loss of our ability to function as a conscious individual. For most of our existence, there was nothing we could do about aging and death. But today, molecular biology is making huge advances in understanding aging. And for the first time, promises to tackle the many causes of aging to allow us to live longer, healthier lives. Lifespans among species vary enormously. This does not mean that each species is programmed to die after a specified time. Butterflies and insects live for days or weeks, while giant tortoises and some sharks and whales can live for several hundred years. You might think this is because a biological program in each species specifies how long it can live, but this isn't so. Rather, evolution mainly tries to optimize our fitness, which is the term biologists use for maximizing the chances of each organism being able to successfully pass on its genes. On average, the larger the animal, the longer its lifespan. Whales, sharks, giant tortoises, and elephants all live longer than mice and rats. This is because it makes no sense for a small animal to age slowly if it's going to be eaten or starved to death fairly quickly. Those animals mature and reproduce quickly so that their chances of raising offspring before they die increase. It's also why animals like bats or birds that can fly and thus escape predators and also forage wildly generally live much longer than animals of similar weight that are land-bound. There are some curious exceptions to this, like us. Humans live almost twice as long as we would be expected to, given our weight. Of course, our life expectancy has doubled in the last 100 years or so because of improvements in public health and medicine. One consequence of evolution trying to optimize our fitness is that the same things that help us grow and survive when we are young cause us to age later in life. Scientists have found that many things that prevent cancer early in life are the causes of aging later on, after our reproductive window has passed. Evolution doesn't care what happens to us after we've passed on our genes. We have a natural limit to our lifespan, but it may one day be possible to exceed it. Jean Calment lived to be the age of 122, but in the 25 years since she died, nobody else has lived past 120. Even though the number of centenarians is growing every year because of advances in medicine, the number of people living past 110 is not. So about 120 years seems to be the limit of our natural lifespan. This doesn't mean, however, that we cannot exceed it by altering our natural biology. In fact, our own aging clock is reset every generation. Every child starts at age zero. A child born to a 40-year-old woman is not 20 years older than one born to a 20-year-old woman. Some animals like hydra or a species of jellyfish also seem to have figured out how to slow down or even reverse aging. Scientists are asking whether we can repeat nature's trick. In principle, there's no physical or chemical law saying that our maximum lifespan has to be 120 years. But there's also no physical law saying we can't colonize Mars or even other galaxies. It's just that practically there are enormous difficulties. Although a lot of work is being done to get cells to go backwards to an earlier stage of their development, it will take major breakthroughs before we can benefit from these efforts. Breakthroughs in understanding aging have come from the strangest people and places. Damage to our DNA is a fundamental cause of aging. But the idea that our DNA can be damaged by external factors like X-rays came from Herman Muller, a precocious socialist American who spent time in Germany and Russia in the turbulent 1930s and managed the unique feat of provoking both the FBI and Stalin. Our current understanding of dementia, like Alzheimer's, goes all the way back to studies by Carlton Gajdoszek, an American who had figured out how brain disease spread among cannibals of New Guinea when they ate the brains of diseased victims. Gajdoszek was a brilliant researcher who had the unfortunate distinction of being both a Nobel Prize winner and a convicted child molester. Then there's the story of rapamycin, a compound that has the tantalizing potential to slow down the aging process. It was first identified as an antifungal agent in soil samples on Easter Island, also known as Rapa Nui. We need to thank one persistent scientist, Suren Segal, who was so determined to continue working on it that he stored a large batch of bacteria that produced rapamycin in an ice cream carton in his freezer and labeled it "Don't Eat" as he moved it from Canada to New Jersey to continue his research. The whole field of aging is full of such stories and shows how the work of curious scientists often pursuing unrelated fundamental questions in biology have made huge breakthroughs in longevity and human health. And they've done this by studying all sorts of species, from baking yeast, worms, flies, and mice, to giant tortoises and ugly creatures like naked mole rats. Despite huge progress in research, Currently, some age-old common sense advice works better than any anti-aging medicine on the market. Today, attacking the causes of aging is a huge enterprise. Over the last 10 years alone, more than 300,000 scientific papers on aging have been published. Over 700 startup companies with many billions of dollars invested have risen up to tackle the causes of aging. Some of the more promising areas are finding compounds that mimic the effect of eating a low-calorie diet, destroying aged cells called senescent cells that cause inflammation, trying to reprogram cells to take them back to an earlier state, and trying to identify factors in young blood which, when transfused into older animals, seems to alleviate many of their symptoms of aging. While we wait for these very smart scientists using increasingly powerful tools to make their breakthroughs, there are things we can do immediately. Some age-old advice still works better than any anti-aging medicine currently on the market. Engage in regular exercise, eat healthily and moderately, and get adequate sleep. And for the first time, aging researchers are showing how the underlying biology explains exactly why this advice works so well.
Okay, that's some good advice for living a reasonably long life, even if immortality may still be a pipe dream for boomers and Gen Xers like me. But things are changing for the next generation. The cohorts known as Millennials and Gen Z are having a huge impact on the world. We're going to talk about that tomorrow with Ken Costa, author of the new book, The $100 Trillion Wealth Transfer, How the Handover from Boomers to Gen Z Will Revolutionize Capitalism. I'm Michael Kovnat. See you then.